is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
It is August 17th, 2021. The speaker at the podium is Xi Jinping, General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, one of the most powerful men in the solar system ever. And I welcome Andrew Collier, the author of China's Technology War, Why Beijing Took Down Its Tech Giants, published in 2022. It's important here to note that we have the perspective of 3 years on from Andrew's observations in 22. He features this moment, August 17, 2021, because it is the theme of Xi Jinping's reforms with the economy, with ideology, and with his own party. He introduces his definition of the term common prosperity. Andrew, a very good evening to you. Congratulations for writing this book 3 years ago. Your very careful rhetorical questions can now be in part answered. I turn to the fact that you're writing a new book, Empire of Dust, about the Chinese economy as well. But we're reflecting here on common prosperity because that is part of the story of what happened to Chinese tech innovation that was roaring ahead with Alibaba and Tencent and Didi and all the startups until what was common prosperity and how did it serve Xi Jinping to emphasize it in 21? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, every leader who comes into office as the head of the Communist Party in China comes up with his own slogan. They all like to believe that they've got their own view of things. And Xi Jinping's one of his big phrases was this notion of common prosperity. And basically, common prosperity was his idea of trying to help the common man, try to make their income better, trying to make their salary stronger, trying to make them in a better position. And Xi himself viewed himself as a common man, even though he's an extremely strong leader, the most authoritarian and strongest leader since Mao died in 1976. And he views himself to some degree as a man of the people. One of the points I make in the book, though, is that even though Xi Jinping makes a lot of talk about helping the common man in common prosperity and a lot of other programs, most of his energy goes towards strengthening the Chinese state with lots of state-driven investment and not actually helping the average consumer. And the crackdown on the tech industry that we're going to discuss this evening is ended up being something that really impacted in a bad way the lives of most citizens in China.
So the big picture, common prosperity, and that is for PR consumption around the world. What are we doing? Common prosperity. There are two details here. One, a man by the name of Wang Huning, who is a senior Chinese Communist Party member and a member of the Politburo Standing Committee. Who was he to Xi in 21 when he made this speech? Who is he today?
Wang Huning was Xi's right-hand man and basically his what they call an ideological czar. He was the guy who was coming up with the ideas that governed Xi's thinking about how we should look at the future of China. And both of them share a view that the most important thing is the Communist Party and the government of China. So they're less interested in the private sector, like private companies. They're less interested in allowing consumers to increase their purchases of goods the way we have in the United States. They're basically interested in the Communist Party leading China into global greatness. And Wang Huning provided the intellectual firepower for Xi Jinping, who was not known for being deeply intellectual.
Wang Huning had performed a similar role for Hu Jintao, the predecessor, and I believe Deng Xiaoping, the predecessor before that. So born in 1955, he's clearly a respected thinker. One more detail. What is the Central Committee for Discipline and Inspection, and how does it serve Xi Jinping?
Well, the CCDI, the Central Committee for Discipline and Inspection, was Xi Jinping's way of trying to crack down on corruption. The problem in China is that if you have a party that basically has no competition, then it means that there's nobody out there ready to stop someone if they start stealing money from the government or abusing their power in some local township somewhere. They don't have the Fourth Estate. They don't have independent journalism to bring these people to court, and they don't have an opposition party to point out the corruption. So Xi didn't believe that he didn't allow the corruption that had really started to get quite high in this under his predecessors. So he invented this organization that would act as the party's arm to crack down on this corruption. And it's been to some degree successful. I mean, people do argue that China's a less corrupt place than it may have been 10 years ago before Xi took power.
We now have Xi Jinping, the big boss, Wang Huning, the brain, and the CCDI, the weapon. And we're about to go to work because there is reason to believe that many of the events we see today, the competition, the adversarial relationship, the stories about black market and chips, the competition for AI, many of those details begin with these events in the early part of the third decade of the 21st century. I go to a speech made October of 2020 by the very successful Chinese entrepreneur Jack Ma. He made this speech in a flippant fashion, saying, you may agree with this, you may not. But he laid out what we could all nod to was market thinking about growth. Andrew, who was Jack Ma at the time he made the speech, October 2020, and what did he represent both to the Chinese Communist Party, many of whom were in the leadership, was in the room with him, and what did he mean to the Chinese economy in 2020?
Jack Ma was basically the Bezos of China. He started the equivalent of Amazon, and it was an amazingly successful company that ended up being one of the largest companies in China. And they delivered goods across the across China and even overseas. And Jack was very popular because he was kind of a real man of the people. He spoke English fairly well. He had learned by hanging out at a hotel in Hangzhou, the city where he's from, and he actually spent some time in the United States. So he was very popular as an entrepreneur and as an individual. And the tech sector in general basically blossomed for that period of time in the 2010s, just like in the United States. So just like we have Uber, they had the similar kind of thing. They had Didi Kuaichu. They had Alibaba, which was the Amazon. They had a whole bunch of online companies teaching preparation courses for universities. They had online gaming. It was a very vibrant tech industry, including the payment systems that dwarfed anything the United States had. They didn't really have credit cards. They had just online payment systems. So this whole ecosystem was very popular and showed that China was really modernizing. And I think a lot of people in the party were in favor of it. However, the problem was that these companies were starting to get really big and really powerful and very popular. And there was, I think, some nervousness in the party, both about the power and the popularity of people like Jack Ma, and also the fact that the state-owned banks potentially could start losing their control over money. So if there's saving deposits hidden away in the banks that the banks are using to give to state companies and for government ends, and all of a sudden Jack Ma comes along and says, oh, we'd like to take some of those savings and find ways to distribute that as investment products or whatever to people across the country. I think the banks were getting nervous and the government was getting nervous because they really need that money as a foundation of the Chinese economy. So Jack stood up at an important forum in Shanghai in front of some very senior officials. Xi Jinping wasn't there, but there were a lot of other people who were quite senior there, and basically started accusing them of being inept. He said things like, their regulators are old, out of touch with modern internet and slacking in their jobs. He said there's no systemic financial risk in China because there's no financial system in China, which was kind of a strong statement. And he accused the banks of having a pawn shop mentality. And you could imagine it's like standing in front of the Federal Reserve and basically accusing them of being completely clueless about how to control or regulate the banking system. So Jack sat down and there was, you know, some titters in the audience, as far as we know. And nothing happened until a few days later when he was called into the offices of the central bank, the People's Bank of China, and given a huge dressing down. And that was the end of the tech sector in China for the next 5 years.
At least we go now to the event where you couldn't avoid it in New York, in Brussels, in London. You couldn't avoid what happened next. Something about an ant corporation being canceled. Andrew Conger is the author. The book is China's Technology War, Why Beijing Took Down Its Tech Giants. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.